From Greenville, South Carolina, we present Let the Bible Speak. Let the Bible Speak is the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America, preaching Christ in all His fullness. This is Alan Kearns with you once again to welcome you to Let the Bible Speak. I'm glad you've been able to join us today, and I trust you'll stay with us for the rest of this 30-minute segment as we continue our series of studies in the life of Christ by looking once more at the temptations of the Lord Jesus. It's a vital area of study, and I trust that the Lord has been instructing and edifying you as we have considered it together. So stay with us. We'll be turning to God's Word in just a few minutes. Our hot topic or commentary for today is dealing with a very disturbing subject. It comes from Germany. Deals with the German government's invoking of a Hitler law against homeschoolers. That's in a moment, but first we have Brad Wilson singing, He Shall Feed His Flock.
He shall feed his flock like a shepherd. He shall gather the lambs with his
matter that I said was a disturbing report coming out of Germany. In 1938, Hitler's Nazi regime, fearing to allow any segment of Germany's youth to be educated free from the pernicious propaganda of fascism, enacted a law that made attendance at a state school compulsory. Today, the German government is applying Hitler's law and is applying the jackboot in a manner worthy of its author. In 2002, police arrived at the home of a homeschooling family and forcibly dragged their crying children off to public school. In other cases, German authorities have arrested, fined, and jailed homeschooling parents. In no case was there the slightest hint that the children were not receiving adequate academic training, or that their parents were instilling subversive or antisocial behavior into them. The crime was simply one of teaching children without exposing them to the perverted sexual standards adopted by modern secularists. In 2003, Fritz and Mariana Conrad filed an appeal with the European Court of Human Rights against the decision of a German court that had ruled that the parental wish, as they called it, to have their children grow up in a home without such influences, could not take priority over compulsory school attendance. The court also stated that the parents do not have an exclusive right to lead their children's education. It ruled that schools represent society and, quotes, it was in the children's interest to become part of that society, end the quotes. The parents' right to educate their family did not go as far as, again I quote, to deprive their children of that experience. The Conrads appealed under the European Convention on Human Rights that states, no person shall be denied the right to education in the exercise of any functions which it assumes in relation to education and to teaching. The state shall respect the right of parents to ensure that such education and teaching is in conformity with their own religious and philosophical convictions. The family argued that Germany's compulsory school attendance endangered their children's religious upbringing and promotes teaching inconsistent with the family's Christian faith. In 2006, the European Court issued its ruling, in which it found in favour of the German authorities. The court said that the Conrads belong to, quotes, a Christian community which is strongly attached to the Bible, who rejected public schooling because of the explicit sexual indoctrination programs that the courses there include. Noting that homeschooling is permitted in many countries in the European Union, the court ruled that such freedom was not founded upon any right of parents and their families, but only on the decision of the state. It declared that the aim of the Convention for the Protection of Human Rights and Fundamental Freedoms includes, quotes, safeguarding pluralism in education, which is essential for the preservation of democratic society. And it added, it is above all through state teaching that this aim must be realized. Close the quotes. Hitler was determined to produce a generation of Germans in his own image through control of the education system. His aim is alive and well in Germany today. But this concerns more than Germany. According to the European Court, no right exists for parents to educate their children. Unless we're careful, the same fascist intolerance and hatred of Christian education will swing into operation all across Europe. Homeschooling rights have been dearly won here in the United States. But if America were to sign on to such high-sounding ideals as the United Nations Convention on the Rights of the Child, or if the standards of that convention were adopted by the federal courts as enforceable international law, homeschooling could be in as much trouble here as it is in Germany. We must never forget that there are self-styled liberal forces at work in our society, forces that are always quick to condemn fascism, but that are not above using fascist methods to enforce the old fascist goal of reducing our children to the status of puppets of the all-powerful state. It's bad enough to have a resurrection of Hitler's law in Germany. Let's make sure it does not get a foothold in the United States. Let's work hard to ensure that the right of parents to give their families a Christian education, whether at home or in a Christian school, is never reduced to a gift dependent on the kindness of the state. now return to our study of the devil's purpose in the temptation of the Lord Jesus Christ at the point that we commenced yesterday, namely the temptation that Christ should cast himself down from the pinnacle of the temple, a temptation that Satan supported by a quotation from Scripture. As we start, I will remind you of what Satan was really trying to accomplish by this particular temptation. So, let's turn again to Matthew chapter 4, as we think of the diabolical purpose in Christ's temptation. Satan was saying, "Give us this sign of your sonship. Prove yourself and be acknowledged at once." He quotes Scripture, partially. Always beware when the devil quotes the Bible. Always beware when one of the emissaries of Satan quotes the Bible. When I hear an apostate quoting Scripture, somebody who normally denies Scripture, questions Scripture, denigrates Scripture and hates it, when I hear an apostate quoting Scripture, I know he has no good purpose in mind, and I need to be doubly on my guard. Satan quoting Scripture, and he's saying, the Scripture says God has promised to give his angels to keep you. They're going to bear you up. Can you see the picture? If you just cast yourself down, it will be a mighty act of faith. It will be a leap of faith. The angels of heaven will come and they will bear you up and all Jerusalem will see it. The world will come to understand. They'll have to recognize you to be the Son of God. You don't need to take the long, tedious road of suffering, of agony, and of death, when one leap of faith will give you the acceptance of the people. That was the temptation. Subtle way of saying, abandon the idea of a blood redemption. There's another way. There's a better way. There's an easier way. Do you hear the hiss of the serpent? Every time there is a proposal of salvation for sinners or an acceptance of Christ apart from redemption by blood, you're dealing with the hiss of the serpent. That's always Satan's cry. It's a cry that's being reproduced in a million pulpits around the world this Christmas time. It's the cry of the Unitarian. It's the cry of the apostate. A Christ to be received without blood. A salvation to be procured without blood. Jesus nailed it immediately, for he saw it for what it is. Thank God Jesus did not come to be born in a manger to stay a little baby for people to drool over in some sentimental fashion. Jesus did not come to be a babe and then a man and simply to live a perfect life and show us how we ought to live. We did all that. But the Lord Jesus came to be born, to live, to keep God's law in its precept, and then to die under the rod of divine wrath and vengeance against our sin, so that bearing our sin in his own body to the tree, by the shedding of his blood, he would purchase our redemption. That's why he came. That's why he came. And that's why Satan made this proposal to stop him. I haven't time to show you how he did it, but if you follow the life of Christ, you'll see again and again Satan making attempts to keep Christ from the cross.
anything to keep him from the cross. You see that in the third temptation as well, where in verses 8 and 9 of Matthew 4, he takes him up into the exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world and all the glory of them, and he saith to him, all these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. As Luke puts it in chapter 4, verse 6, all this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. The devil was a liar, but even liar as he was, he had to stop short of making himself the master of the world. He said, it's been delivered me. He recognized the truth of Job 1, that anything he did by permission. And here he comes, and he's making a huge offer to Christ. A huge offer. There's the kingdoms of the world. There's all the glory of them, and I will give them to you. He made a huge offer because he was playing for high stakes. You see, I believe that though the devil doesn't know everything, he knew enough to know this. And of course the Lord Jesus knew it, that all those kingdoms are deeded to Christ. All the kingdoms of the world are deeded to Christ, ultimately. Revelation chapter 11 verse 15 speaks of the kingdoms of this world becoming the kingdom of our God and of His Christ. I was just this morning in my psalm for today looking at the glorious prophecy of the 67th psalm. And the earth shall yield her increase. And God, our own God, shall bless us. God shall bless us. And the ends of the earth shall fear Him. Because in verse 4 we find that He will judge the people righteously. And He will govern the nations upon the earth. That is God's promise. That is God's prophecy. That is God's program regarding the Lord Jesus Christ. There is no way around it. The kingdoms of this world have been deeded to Christ. The temptation once again was to the Savior, since they're yours, take them now. Once again, avoid the toil. Avoid the pain. Avoid the cross. But I think there's an added idea here. If you take these kingdoms, look at them. How much good could be done if Jesus were governor of these kingdoms? How much good you can do? You'll rule the world. Take it now. But the price was too high. All this, if you fall down and worship me. A desperate gamble by the old serpent, because he knew it was either all this if you fall down and worship me, or all this anyway if you stay the course, crush my head. To comply with this would have made Christ an antichrist. It would have made him an idolater, a sinner, and would have slaughtered the last hope of salvation for a lost world. The Lord Jesus saw that very clearly, and he said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." That was always his response to anything that would stop him from going to the cross. You remember in Matthew 16, 22, 23, when he announced his intention of going to the cross, Peter said, "Be it far from you, Lord. Lord, don't go to the cross." And immediately addressing Peter, rather addressing Satan, who had befuddled Peter's brain, Jesus said, "Get thee behind me, Satan." The very same words as are used here. That was always his response. When you stop to think of it, how the Lord Jesus towers above all others at this point. Satan offered Christ all the world. all its power, all its glory. And he rejected it all for a cross. And thank God all that that cross would purchase. But look at the rest of the world. Satan offered Esau a mess of pottage, and he took it. He offered Achan 100 shekels of silver and 50 shekels of gold with a Babylonish garment, and he took them. He offered Gehazi a talent of silver, 2 changes of raiment. They took them. He offered Judas Iscariot 30 measly, dirty pieces of silver. And he took them. For these paltry little trinkets of the world, these men bartered their very souls. They're in hell today. In hell today, still paying for their bargain. For Jesus said, "What shall it profit a man if he should gain the whole world, lose his own soul?" Satan comes to you and me exactly as he came to Christ. You can never have the world, but he'll offer you a little bit of it. More than you'll ever really get, he offers. I want to ask you this morning, what are you selling your soul for? What foolish little trinket of the world is it that the devil puts in your hand or dangles before your eyes? You're willing to damn your soul for that thing. Of course, he tells you, that'll not be the outcome. You can have the world and Christ. You can have your sin and eternal life. You can run with the devil on the broad road and yet get in through the gate to glory. He'll tell you all that, but he is a liar from the beginning and the father of all lies. Men and women, let me tell you, there is only one possible proper response to Satan's temptation, and it is the response of our Savior. Get behind me.
You've been listening to Let the Bible Speak, the radio ministry of the Free Presbyterian Church of North America. I hope that you found today's broadcasting a blessing to your heart. If you'd like to email us, our email address is ltbs@freepres.org. Or if you'd prefer, you may write us at Let the Bible Speak, 1207 Haywood Road, Greenville, South Carolina, 29615. We would love to hear from you. If you'd like to know how to be saved and how to be sure you're saved, we'd like to send you my booklet, A New Beginning, and I think that you'll find it very helpful. Each quarter we publish a free full-color magazine, Let the Bible Speak Quarterly, with a good variety of Bible teaching and testimony. It's available to all who request it. If you'd like to receive more information about the Free Presbyterian Church of North America and its ministry, we'd like to send you our booklet, Separated Unto the Gospel. Or if you'd like to have tape or CD copies of the messages here in Let the Bible Speak, you may have them by contacting us. Or you may visit us on the web at letthebiblespeakradio.com.
Now that's a lot of information to digest all at once, but you can find it all on our website, letthebiblespeakradio.com. There you'll be able to listen to and download our programs, visit our online bookstore, and read a text version of each day's commentary. So visit us today at letthebiblespeakradio.com. This is Alan Cairns saying thank you for listening. I trust that you'll join us each day at this time, Monday through Friday, as we let the Bible speak.